The scripture reading for this morning will be Esther chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?"
Good morning, church. It is great to be here, and it's great to see you, and great to be a part of Glenpool Church of Christ, where we've decided that we are not, the church is not a place for satisfied customers, but a place for disciples who long to be more like Jesus. And as a result, this is a place to belong and a place to learn and a place to serve. It's great to be here with you this morning. We're going to continue our study this morning on serving as God's soldiers with the idea that no soldier is left behind. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Scripture says that we are a family of believers. So the Bible depicts you and me as family. As our family says when we have somebody in our that we've adopted into our family, we call it related by love. We may not be related by blood, but related by love. And this is a body of believers related by love, our love for each other and our love for our Savior Jesus Christ. But in order to be a family, we need to be intentional about that. Family doesn't really happen by accident, especially a family of love, bound by love. And I'll just share with you a personal experience. Lord willing, next week, you'll get to meet my mother and stepfather. My stepfather, I call him Dad because he's been a wonderful and continues to be a wonderful dad to me. But when I was 17 years old, my biological parents divorced. And it was unfortunate. They were both good people, but this didn't. They decided that they were going to separate and dissolve the marriage. And I'll say this: the struggle that was in our house before they made that decision was extreme. Of course, now I'm the baby of the family, so maybe I'm just being a baby here. But what I remember was a house that the wall, you could just feel the tension in the walls. A house that was miserable. A house that there was a kind of a war going on. And I'm not trying to be critical of either of my parents. It was just they were going through an extremely difficult time. And I, to a large degree, didn't understand it. I certainly couldn't do much about it. And then finally, when the announcement was made public and the divorce was made public, the church that I had grown up in my entire life, the church that was my family, what I heard over and over and over again was, "We had no idea. We had no idea." And as a 17-year-old, my thought was, how in the world could you have no idea? My world was miserable. My world was crumbling down around my ears. My world was falling apart. How could you not know what was going on in my world? And maybe that's unfair criticism from a 17-year-old. But I still think, as someone who's a little past 17 now, that if we're a family of believers, then if something tumultuous is going on in our family, we not only know about it, we care. That we're concerned, and maybe we can't fix it, maybe we can't snap our fingers and make it right, but we need to be people who are involved in each other's lives to the point where we know when we can celebrate together, and we also know when we need to grieve together. And so let's just take cruise ship Carrie and battleship Bobby here for just a minute. And let's just think, and how do these two members of our congregation approach the family concept? And I'm going to suggest to you that one popular approach from the cruise ship mindset is don't get involved. Lives are messy. Marriages can be messy. Families can be messy. And so the best thing to do is not get involved. And by not getting involved, then I can make sure that my heart isn't burdened by things that aren't mine to carry. And I can, my, it won't negatively impact my worship experience. I can come to church and be blissfully ignorant and come in here and worship, and it doesn't impact my relationship and my worship experience. But a battleship mentality says, if my family's hurting, I want to be there. If my family can celebrate, I want to celebrate. If my family needs to cry, I want to cry with them. If there's something going on, I need to know about it. We're all in this together. We're in the same war. We're on the same ship. We're fighting the same cause. And that's where we have some of these separations between battleship mindset and cruise ship mindset. And I want to suggest to you that our mindset is no soldier left behind. No soldier left behind. So let's look at that for just a minute. What does it mean when we say no soldier left behind? Well, for one thing, godly soldiers share the mission. We share the mission, and if you're one who enjoys filling in blanks, there's your first one. Godly soldiers share the mission. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. It'll be on the screen, but please open your Bibles if you'd like. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 31. Paul's instruction to the church in Rome, to the soldiers, in Galatia, in Ephesians. Let me get it right here one of these days. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Well, this is marching orders for the church in Ephesus, but it's also marching orders for the church throughout history. And let me say this, there is not now and nor has there ever been a mission that God has given to his soldiers that required bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, or malice. That's never part of the mission requirement for God's soldiers. In fact, just the opposite, these are the tactics that Satan uses to attack God's people. And so that's why Paul writes to the church and says, we need to get rid of these things. They don't belong here. They're not part of our mission. It's not part of our strategy. It's not part of our tactics. And in fact, the tactics that you and I need to employ to accomplish God's mission are kindness, compassion, and forgiveness, the latter part of the verse we just read. Kindness is a cousin to grace, if you'll allow me that. Kindness is a cousin of grace, and kindness is giving someone what they don't deserve. There are people who have every human being is created in the image of God. Some human beings carry that image better than others. Some human beings reflect that image better than others. Kindness is caring about people regardless of how bad they've marred or distorted that image that they carry of God. It's caring. It's wanting the best for them, seeking the best for them, trying to be someone who involves and engages the best in them. Compassion or tender-hearted is the idea. Some translations say tender-hearted. That's akin to mercy. That's not giving people what they do deserve. Compassion, not giving people what they do deserve. A tender-hearted person tries to care for people. It tries to be there for people. Tries to be God's influence for people. Expressing the truth in love. Being God's presence of love. Even for people who have made a total mess of their life. And a lot of the mess they experience with are because of their poor, even sinful choices. Compassion, being tender-hearted, means, yeah, they've created a lot of their own problems, but we come alongside trying to be God's presence in the midst of those challenges. And forgiveness is the gift that really isn't complete until it's regifted. Forgiveness isn't really finished until it's given again. And we're told in this passage that we're to forgive others just as Christ forgave you and me. So as we receive Christ's forgiveness through Christ, we regift that as expressing and gift and forgiveness for others. So godly soldiers share the mission. Secondly, godly soldiers share the burden. Godly soldiers share the burden. This comes from Galatians chapter 6, just one verse, Galatians 6 in verse 2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is the English Standard Version on the screen. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the way this command's written, bear one another's burdens, it's not written so much as if there comes an occasion when you need to help someone carry their load. It's written more along the lines of when this happens. It's just understood, it's expected that there's going to come a time when one of our brothers and sisters in Christ is going to be carrying an extraordinarily heavy burden, and we need to come alongside them and help them carry that burden. Nobody's responsible for my walking away from the church, and I've said this in the interview, so it shouldn't come as a surprise, and I'm not proud of it, but for about 20 years, from 17 to 37, I was out in the wind. And I'll tell you, I wasn't a mass murderer, but by the same token, God's desire for my life was nowhere on the top 10 of my priority list. Maybe not on the front page of my priority list. It's not anybody's fault but mine. It was a decision I made. One of the things that helped me make that decision was hearing people that were supposed to be my brothers and sisters in Christ saying we had no idea. Now, again, I don't want to be overly critical because families can be very secretive. They can be very closed off. They can be very arm's length. But part of the thing that frustrated me was, if this is what church is about, then what good is it for me? That at the time when I was struggling most, the people who are my family were claiming that they knew nothing about the struggle. The passage is written not so much as if this should occur, but when this happens, we need to be ready to spring into action. We need to be ready to come share the load. We need to be ready to come walk alongside someone who's struggling. And in this way, we fulfill the law of Christ. Now, that's an interesting phrase, an amazing phrase that Paul makes in the middle of Galatians. The law of Christ. Interesting for two reasons. First of all, it's the only time this ever happens. That phrase only occurs in the New Testament. That's a phrase that's more akin to the Old Covenant. But it's the only time that phrase shows up in the New Testament, the law of Christ. And it shows up in the middle of a letter whose one of the main themes is freedom and being free. And so in the middle of this letter about freedom in Christ, in fact, in Galatians, and it was only six chapters long, the letter, the words freedom or free occur 11 times. So Paul makes sure almost twice per chapter that this idea of freedom or free shows up. It's a major theme throughout the letter. In fact, in Galatians 5:1, he says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So I mean, here's the theme, right? And in the middle of this letter about freedom, we have this law of Christ. This only time Paul chooses, or anybody else in the New Testament chooses, to describe Christianity as a law. So how do we fulfill that law? Well, Jesus said the two greatest commandments in all of Scripture are love God and love people, right? Love God with everything you have and love people like you love yourself. And so one of the ways in which you and I fulfill the two greatest commandments, one of the ways in which you and I love God and love people is to share a burden. Is to share our burdens together. It's one thing to come alongside somebody to celebrate, but it's another thing to come alongside somebody when they're hurting. But that's one of the ways in which we fulfill the law of Christ. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had Sacoma here, and I really appreciate, Carl, thank you for remembering Sacoma in your prayer. Sacoma goes back the 4th. What's that? Two or three days from now? And he's headed back to another 11 months and great work. And I want to say thank you, by the way, to this congregation for your great generosity in supporting Sacoma and the work that he's doing there. I don't know of many people, of anybody who works as hard as he does and who stretches a penny as far as he does. I promise you he'll make good use of the money that you've contributed to him. But I really appreciate you welcoming him. This congregation gets the gold star for hospitality and just loving on people. And so thank you for being who you are and just letting your nature shine through and making Sacoma and his family feel so welcome, not only in welcoming here, but in supporting the work that they're doing here. But that was last week. The week before that, we were in our soldiers series, and we were talking about invading Satan's stronghold. And in that lesson, we talked about personal evangelism, the need we have to go break right into Satan's camp and steal his prisoners of war, who are souls that have not accepted Jesus Christ. And we do that by evangelism. We take the gospel to them. Scripture says that we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God's making his plea through us, that we have the gospel of reconciliation. And so we talked about personal evangelism a couple of weeks ago in terms of our being battleship soldiers, our call to be people who serve. Today I want us to talk a little bit about the burden that we have in common in the Great Commission and how we partner with others to work in that Great Commission. By the way, just a side note, if I may, 2 weeks ago when we talked about personal evangelism, we talked about some of the ways in which you and I can be an impact into our community. And one of the things we talked about was Care Portal. And I want to say again how much I appreciate the generosity of this congregation, not only in your love and your care and support for the idea of Care Portal. The Care Portal is partnering with Department of Human Services to come alongside families who are trying to fix some problems before those problems tear their families apart, trying to correct some issues, and how churches are being asked by Department of Human Services to come alongside them and share faith and share a walk with them and share a relationship with them and help them bring mending and peace and godliness to their families so the families can stay whole and together. Thank you for your interest in that, and thank you for your support in that. Well, today we're going to talk about how we're going to partner with people in the Great Commission. And we're going to talk a little bit about Care Portal and some other ones. But let me just talk about some of the ministries that this congregation has participated in and the ministries that are going on in the broader sense of the kingdom for spreading the gospel, the Great Commission, to people beyond our walls and our borders and our community. And first of all, I want to talk about Glenpool Church of Christ and our prison ministry. This is the one ministry that never missed a beat through the entire life of COVID-19. The coronavirus, the pandemic did not stop the prison ministry. And because of its unique ability to reach people and continue to communicate without being face-to-face, and because of dedicated servants, there's about 7 people in this congregation who weekly come together to look over Bible studies that inmates have turned back in and to show them, to celebrate with them where they've answered correctly and to help them see maybe where they need to do some more study. There are 7 people who have come together weekly to do that and never missed a beat, never stopped throughout the whole pandemic. About 250 inmates are involved in the study, which is fantastic. And that number is growing, by the way. It includes 18 different facilities, some county jails, some state and federal prisons, including maximum security prisons in Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, Kansas, Virginia, West Virginia, Illinois, and 1 nursing home in Missouri, because one of the inmates sent the Bible study to a family member in a nursing home, and now that family member of the nursing home is involved in the prison ministry. So one of the ways in which we're trying to join together and partner with people to carry the burden of the Great Commission, and I don't say the burden as a negative thing, the gift that God's called us as ambassadors and making his plea through us, part of the way we're fulfilling that is through the prison ministry that continues to grow and continues to serve. And I'm pretty sure I can say this without reservation. If anybody else who wants to volunteer to be a part of that, you're more than welcome to be part of the prison ministry, and it's a great work. Another way in which this congregation is partnering with others to help fulfill the Great Commission is with Hope Harbor. Hope Harbor is out of Claremore, Oklahoma, and they are helping children and families affected by trauma by giving the tools and support they need to move forward in life. We're grateful for the generosity of this congregation and the love of this congregation that allows us to support that ministry. There's also the Ukrainian Bible Institute in Kyiv, Ukraine. I'm sorry, Kyiv. I even got online and looked at a Ukrainian professor and how they pronounced it. I'm still turning it into Texan, I'm sorry. But the Kyiv, Ukraine. And so we have Brandon and Katie, and there's Unjustice Price, and Sergey and Ludmilla and Yvonne Chubinko working to equip servants there in the Ukraine to serve Christ as preachers and church leaders. There's also the Wahiwa Church of Christ in Hawaii. Why can't they just be called Smith, right? The Wahiwa Church of Christ in Hawaii, and Drew and Kristen and Shiloh, Eva, Elena, and Orly Arbuckle are working there with great big hearts and a small part of the large family of God's family here on earth. So the church there in Hawaii. And I mentioned the Care Portal, and I'll say this. With the elders' direction and permission, we have signed up as a congregation for Care Portal, and it is up and going, and we're going to, Lord willing, Monday, tomorrow, we'll set a perimeter as far as, you know, how far and how widespread are we able to respond to this, to the needs that are here. And I'll say this, I really believe that there's as many opportunities as we won't be a part of to participate in the lives of people who are trying to get their families back on track and where God wants them to be. And so there's a great opportunity. There's been some people that have been very generous about helping to supply needs for that before there's ever a need mentioned. And so grateful for that. But I think there's a chance for us to be a part of people's lives as much as we're willing to be a part. And so I'm looking forward to that. And also for the Cambodia ministries in Kampong Spu. Sakom is headed back, but I shared with Sakom the generosity, and there was, at last count, this congregation, just as a last-minute opportunity, last week when Sakom spoke, if you want to give, you can give. Sakom's going back to Cambodia with about $2,500 he didn't have before he came because of this body of believers right here and 1 week of giving. So on behalf of somebody who loves the work and loves the workers there, I appreciate that very, very, very much. The Cambodia Christian Ministries involves medical missions, which is kind of amazing, where you get to go into a village and maybe you set up camp at a Buddhist temple. And on one side of the temple, you're doing medical missions. On the other side, you're preaching Jesus Christ with Buddhist monks listening, or a Muslim mosque. They also have the Bible school where you bring young men and young women, or even, well, I say that. I've got about 17 students, I think, in Hebrews class on Tuesday mornings and Thursday mornings and for classes. There's a three-year program, and of those, there's probably four or five that are my age. And so maybe just young at heart, but there's a lot of people who are learning to understand Scripture and to apply Scripture to their life and maybe to their walk with God. And some of these will be great leaders in the church, whether they're elders or elders' wives, ministers' wives, or just people who just love God and serve well. So grateful for that work. They also have the water well ministry where they go into the villages and drill water wells and provide clean water for the whole family in the name of Jesus, or for the whole village in the name of Jesus, and elder care, orphan care, and leader care. So some great works there. There's opportunities here, and this is the idea of we can sit back and we can wait for the pandemic to pass, and we can just kind of cool our heels and just wait until the danger is gone and then venture back out and see what we can do, or we can have a call to arms. We can put on the full armor of God, and we can go out there and make a difference. And this congregation has decided that this is what we're going to do. We're not going to wait. We're going to continue, and in fact, we're even going to ramp up our efforts in the midst of a pandemic, because this is when all soldiers are called to bear arms and to go to war against Satan and to try to win that war through evangelism. Church, our mission is to bring as many soldiers as possible home from the battlefield. And so Eli read for us out of Esther. And in Esther verse 4 and chapter 4 and verse 14, I'm paraphrasing here, Mordecai tells this young lady who's in a very precarious position, because if she goes before the king without his permission, all he has to do is say, out of my face, and it's the death penalty. But she's been told that if you don't, that God's put you in a place to do something that only you can do. Now, she's told if you don't step up and do it, God will raise up a deliverer somewhere else. But who knows but what God's brought you to this position at this moment for just such a time as this. And church, I believe that's true not only for Esther in her day, but for you and me in our day. For whatever reason, God decided that this is his church. This is a congregation of his church to see his people and the world through a pandemic. And there's more going on in our world than a pandemic. There are people who are mad at each other and have opinions of each other based on the color of their skin or where they live or how they speak or what they do. There's politicians who maybe not just putting our best foot forward in terms of world experience and people who look to God for leadership. I'm just saying there's plenty of opportunity for soldiers to step up and be soldiers in God's kingdom, more than just the pandemic. But this church has decided that we're not going to sit back and watch the pandemic come and go, that we're not going to be passive, that in the midst of this, we're going to be people who take up the full armor of God and go to war against Satan. And for that, I'm grateful. And our mission is to bring as many soldiers as possible home from the battlefield. And we do that not by shooting our wounded and not by forgetting about those who have walked away from God and made a mess of their image of Christ, but we do that by loving people just like we love ourselves. What a great call to ministry. What a great opportunity. What a great privilege. What a great time to be alive. What a great time to be a part of the body of Christ. Trying? Yes. Difficult? Yes. Tiring? Absolutely. But there's opportunities here that God's opened up for us. And I love the fact that we as a body of believers are embracing those opportunities, not shrinking back, but embracing them and marching forward to be soldiers in God's battlefield. Church, in just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. That's an invitation to you. That's a formal invitation by this congregation to you. If there's some way this body of believers can serve you, if there's something we can do, if there's a way we can minister to you, please tell us how. If you're at home, reach out to us. Call, text, email, phone, anything. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, then we'd like to hear that commission, that confession, and celebrate with the angels as your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're adopted into God's family and written into His will. Then you leave here a new creature. We'll celebrate with the angels. If you need to come back to Christ, we'd love nothing more to walk with you on that journey, to help you with that walk, to look into Scripture and see what God's Word had to say about your walk with Him, about your life in particular. If there's any way that this body of believers can serve you, won't you tell us how? Let's stand. Let's sing.